All right, members, I'm going to call to order the conference committee. Conference committee has been called to order. I thank the members and staff for coming today. And the conference committee has been called because of a couple of questions that were raised by members of the conference committee. So I want to call on Representative Broad. And if she would go over, she has a couple of concerns. And then we have Mark Shepard is drafting, I think, an amendment that would address one of Representative Broad's concerns. So we could you, Representative Broad, go over your two concerns?
Sure, Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity. The two concerns were related to provisions in the bill on lines 1.28. Is essentially exempting out lobbying activities under $50,000 from transparency, and that was a concern. And if somebody can provide me additional clarification, I will be reading the letter while some of the questions, I think, are answered, so I can take a look at this. And then, Mr. Chairman, the second concern I have was related to a provision that the House didn't hear, so that was part of the concern related to the discussion around this bill was such that agreements were made to keep the bills the way they were from both sides, and I was concerned that a provision was added in that was never heard on the House side that I thought might have some unintended consequences for some of the candidates in terms of potential pitfalls with YouTube and transferring things from YouTube into their campaign websites and things along those lines as technology expands. I think the intent of what they're trying to do I have no problem with. It sounds as though we can very simply solve that problem by putting the words professionally produced ads in there, and that would be absolutely satisfactory to me. So, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to take a look at the first one. I understand I have a letter right in front of me. If Mr. Shepard can maybe go through
Mr. Shepard is drafting your...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Representative Broad. And I'm going to have Senator Ress address your concerns.
But those are the two concerns.
Go through Senate addition. So, Senator Ress.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have had extensive discussion with the governor's office and also with advocates for the deaf and hard of hearing community, and I have met with them also again this morning, and we have no problem with adding the language, and I'm trying to find where that would be in our bill. Page 6.
Mr. Watson, do you have it, and you can point it out to us?
Mr. Chairman, if you're looking at the unofficial engrossment of House File 3172, it's on page 6. And I think you're talking about the definition of campaign advertisement.
I believe so. And we still don't have Mr. Shepard, but on page 6 it would be... Mr. Watson, do you know exactly, or Representative Broad, where you wanted that inserted? Oh, here he is. All right. Mr. Shepard, we're looking at your amendment, and once Mr. Malder can pass that out, I think, and then we can.
Well, I think, Mr. Chairman, where I'm saying it is where it would be in the definitions that campaign advertisement means a professionally produced visual or audio recording. That's the impact, I think, Representative Broad, in that, and the Senate conferees are agreeable to that. Is that correct?
Let's have Mr. Shepard explain the amendment that's drafted before us and see if this works. So, Mr. Shepard.
Mr. Chair and Madam Chair and members, this amendment was drafted to House File 3172, the unofficial engrossment passed by the Senate, and it's on page 6, line 4. It amends the definition of campaign advertisement to insert before the phrase visual or audio recording the term professionally produced. So it would be in the definition there.
Mr. Chairman, I move that amendment.
Senator S. moves the amendment. Any discussion to the amendment? Mr. Watson.
Yes, I might.
Yes.
Mr. Shepard, I wonder why you didn't just put professionally before produced on line 5.
Mr. Shepard.
Um, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members, that seems like a very reasonable suggestion to me. It's an alternative way to do it, and it would, if the conferees think that's acceptable, I think that's preferable.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Watson, where would that go?
I don't have the numbers, so if you would just tell me where the language is.
Mr. Watson.
The language says a visual or audio recording of 2 minutes or less produced by the candidate, etc.
Mm-hmm.
This was just put professionally before produced.
Mr. Chairman.
Professionally produced by the candidate.
Representative Broad.
Mr. Chairman, I actually I appreciate Mr. Watson's suggestion, but I think Mr. Shepard's suggestion will be less open to loopholes. If I read it professionally and produced by the candidate may be construed as not producing it themselves or maybe hiring somebody else. And so I think if you put the words professionally produced before visual and audio, I think it covers both cases and might not open up things for the campaign finance board to have to determine later on.
All right. The Senator Rest is going to maintain that her initial motion, which would be the HRD amendment.
That's fine.
All right. All those in favor of the amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion prevails. The amendment is adopted. So that concern has been taken care of, Representative Broad, and you had one other concern?
Mr. Chairman, maybe Senator Rush can give just a quick background. I mean, the other concern is just related to transparency, and it sounds like it's more about reporting than it is about transparency. I just want to make sure that we are not exempting people out from reporting. I think that people knowing where dollars are being spent, whether it's lobbying or otherwise, is a good idea.
Can you tell specifically in the bill where you are? And
sure, Mr. Chairman.
It's
actually, I have the other version. Actually on, well, it's related to the ballot question, other than lobbying activities, are the questions.
Section one.
Questions
of the unofficial engrossment. And
Senator S.
Mr. Chairman and members, while Representative Broad is reading the materials that, and I just learned of that concern this morning, so I would have gotten them to you ahead of time, but while she is reading over the materials from the advocates, I would just like to share with other members the rationale that happened that brought the bill last year to us. There was a decision in 2006 by the Campaign Finance and Public Disclosure Board that dismissed a complaint by Minnesota Citizens in Defense of Marriage against Outfront Minnesota for having failed to register a political committee for the purpose of supporting or opposing a bill that would have placed on the ballot a proposed constitutional amendment to define marriage. The reason for the dismissal was that after the complaint was filed, Outfront Minnesota did register a political fund for that purpose and retroactively filed with the board reports of its receipts and expenditures related to the constitutional amendment proposal. The receipts and expenditures of the political fund were the same. They were identical as those reported by Outfront Minnesota for its lobbying activities, Representative Broad, related to that constitutional amendment. Since that time, this provision has the support of making this change so that the two reports don't need to be made and just one report can be made are supported by the Council of Nonprofits and diverse groups as MCCL, the Family Council, and Planned Parenthood of Minnesota and North Dakota. The background was, as I mentioned, and it had applied to nonprofit corporations but not to other corporations. Why this is a problem? 501c3 organizations, which are purely public charities, are prohibited from political activity, as we understand. They may not have PACs, and being compelled to create political action funds will have a chilling effect on nonprofit advocacy and lobbying, regardless of the political ideology that informs the organization. IRS rules limit nonprofit lobbying, but consider lobbying for or against a ballot initiative to be lobbying and not political activity. So the position that we got last year then from the Minnesota Council on Nonprofits says that they agree that lobbying at the legislature is lobbying. The proposed legislation clarifies that nonprofit organizations may report lobbying for both statutory changes and constitutional amendments as basic lobbyist expenditures using the lobbyist reporting forms for lobbying activity. And that is what the legislation proposes to do, and I believe accomplishes with this language, so that once again they do not have to report lobbying activity regarding proposed constitutional amendments separately from lobbying activity on any other bills.
Representative Braun, this particular section, while it was not in the House bill, has been passed twice by government operations to the floor and was dealt with here on the House side. It was not in the House bill, to be sure, but it was an item that we had discussed with Senator Rest in 2007 and in 2008, and that we had advocated for because of the impact, the unintended impact this had on nonprofits, and the fact that they would then be classified as a PAC, and we did not want nonprofits classified as a PAC. So it was not in the House bill, but it has been heard and vetted in the House twice.
And Mr. Chairman, I think that the whole thing is that the nonprofits, again, across the spectrum of political ideology, want lobbying reported as lobbying rather than as something that it is not.
Mr. Chairman, is there any difference? Does anybody know, is there any difference in terms of when the reporting occurs?
As far as I know, there's no change in what they're in here. There's no change required, and I believe they file a year-end report. But Mr. Watson, can you help us on that, or Mr. Shepard?
We do have individuals here who can testify to it. So if you want to come down and please identify yourself, welcome to the conference committee. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Madam Chair, members. Gary Goldsmith, I'm the Executive Director of the Minnesota Campaign Finance Board. With respect to the question as to whether there's a difference in reporting periods in a non-election year, candidates and political committees, which nonprofits sometimes form, report once at the end of the year, covering the entire calendar year. A lobbyist every year report twice, once for January through June, and once for the second half of the year. So with respect to the timing of reports, in a non-election year, lobbyists actually report more. In an election year, the candidate schedule is different. The political committee schedule is different, with political committees having three reports due, once before the primary, once before the general election, and then once at the end of the year.
Mr. Chairman and Mr. Poser, would this then, if I understand you correctly, this would remove a reporting requirement then for activities?
If I may, Mr. Chair,
yes,
Madam Chair, Representative Broad, the ballot questions were brought into the Chapter 10A in 1980, actually, as what we would call a campaign finance activity for the purpose of activities on the ballot question after the question is on the ballot, and that would not change. So if a nonprofit group or anyone else has a political committee that's active advocating a ballot question that has been passed by the legislature, they would still form a political committee and have to report those things. But from 1980 until 2006, the Campaign Finance Board did not consider activities of any organization to influence the legislature to pass the question to the ballot to be campaign finance activities. Those were considered to be strictly lobbying activities. In 2006, as a result of a number of complaints that were filed, the board took a closer look and saw in the statutory language that a ballot question activities includes activities to promote, includes activities to qualify the question for the ballot. And while I think two different readings of that could have been taken, the board took the position that those activities meant lobbying. So for lobbying for a ballot question, right now we have one standard, which is you form a political committee and report the lobbying as a campaign expenditure, campaign finance type expenditure, and you report it as lobbying. For any other kind of lobbying other than a ballot question, you don't form a political committee, you only report it as lobbying.
Mr. Chairman, one last question then, just for clarification. Then as soon as that ballot question is passed by both bodies, then any further activities by those entities would have to be done in the form of a PAC, not in the form of a lobby.
Mr. Goldsmith.
Mr. Chairman, Representative Broad, that is correct. In fact, the board had an advisory opinion request that was released after the last meeting from a nonprofit on a ballot question that has passed the legislature, and the board's opinion was that as soon as that organization had raised or spent $100 to influence that ballot question, they would be required to form a political committee or fund.
Representative Brosnan, you're fine.
Mr. Chairman, I'm fine. Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
All right. Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, Representative Morgan, do you have a motion for it?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I would move the Senate language as amended into the conference report.
Any discussion to that motion? Seeing no discussion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any motion prevails? Members, I believe the only thing we have left to do is to sign the conference committee report.
When it's ready.
All right. Thank you, members. And thank you, staff, for coming over. Thank you.